nanohub.org.
Online simulation and more for nanotechnology.
You guys have any questions from last class? Thanks. Yes, I hear that.
Yeah. How does the entropy relate to the Ohm's symmetry?
Ah, okay. That will take an entire class to discuss, but how does entropy relate to the Onsager matrix symmetry principle in qualitative terms? So what ultimately happens is that you have your, say, your mass flux, right, for the ice species, right, and you have your charge flux, right, and I think you can also specify some heat flux, right, and then you can write that in this giant matrix, okay, where this, I mean, this is 3 by 3 times, you know, number of quantities that you have there, okay, and here you can have all the coefficients that couple them. And on this side, you can have the driving forces, right? We can talk about Fi, F rho, yeah, I mean, all of them here, just like here. And here would be Fq, where really, Fi would really mean the gradients in chemical potential. F rho, the gradients in voltage, right? And here, this would be the gradients of temperature, right? That's the matrix, okay? So you can prove, if you go through the math, that if I multiply this whole thing by the transpose of that one, by Fi, F rho, and Fq, the other Q, the transpose, this is a scalar, okay? This one turns out to be equal to something called the entropy production, okay? Basically, or if you multiply the whole thing by T, okay, well, times that thing, you know, this, I guess I can call this a giant vector F, right? So here it's F transpose, okay? I multiply it by the temperature, the whole thing. This one gives me basically the Joule heating. Okay? That number, the Joule heating, is always greater than zero. Okay? Or if you prefer, the Joule heating is a measure of the entropy production in this framework. Okay? And the only way mathematically that happens is if this matrix is positive definite. Okay, and that's only possible if the off-diagonal elements are equal to each other and the determinant of that thing is positive. Okay? And that's how it all, you know, fits together. Okay? Really going through that typically takes between 1 to 2 lectures to get there. And since this was not a class on the modeling of batteries, but more on the material science aspects, I just went over the results. Okay, but basically it comes from that. Okay? Okay. Any other questions in that regard? Yeah?
Is there a good book or maybe resource to learn more about that?
About this? Sure. I can post the paper by Onsager. It's also... I can also refer you to a chapter of a book that I can try to scan and post there. This is very well known, okay? And, it's very mathy, but yeah, I can refer you to that one. Absolutely. I'll post something, if not today, sometime over the weekend or Monday, okay? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Anything else in this regard? Okay. Okay. So, just to summarize the last class, okay, basically, and that was the idea up there, right, we started from this very complex picture where we have the anode, the separator, and the cathode, and the cathode and the anode are both made out of this particle size distribution, okay, say of average particle size RP, okay, and we know that at this interface, for every particle, there's a Butler-Bomer relationship, okay, then when we get a current out that forces an overpotential in each of those particles, forcing the reaction to take place, right? The naturally, the species that we're using to discharge your battery stored here wants to go to the counter electrode, and in response, we get, of course, a flux of electrons outside, which is the one we use. Okay? The problem is complex in the sense that once the ions are exuded, they typically have to travel between these particles, cross the separator, and do the same thing here until they react at the surface of the particles back there. Okay, so describing that explicitly can be very complicated. Okay, so instead what we do is we translate this problem into an equivalent one, where in this case we just associate to this medium a porosity, okay, and give some properties like tortuosity to the system. The same on this side. Just to distinguish them, this is the porosity of the anode with its associated tortuosity, the porosity of the cathode and its associated tortuosity. Okay, we say that this electrode has a Butler-Bromer relationship for the anode, just like we have one for the cathode. Okay, and together with that, we also have a reaction area per unit volume for both for anode and cathode. And the trick is that we want to describe the transport in the pores of the structure alone, okay, and couple that with the diffusion of a representative particle, okay, or for every spot along the length of that, okay? So we have here representative particle, okay? And so as we go along the length of this electrode, mass is being, well, if it's discharging, is basically dumping the mass into the electrolyte. We solve for the transport within the electrolyte, it crosses the separator, and on this side we have again also representative particles that are basically taking that mass, those ions from the electrolyte into the particle, basically removing them, and we solve the problem. Okay? And in this case, since we are accounting for the mass transfer in the electrolyte alone, then we really are saying, by multiplying it by the porosity, the concentration by the porosity, what we're saying is, we care about the concentration, but only in the pores. Okay? In the absence of pores, then we're really only talking about the solid state diffusion. Okay? So, we say the accumulation of, say, lithium in the pores is proportional to the divergence of the mass flux in the pores. It's all in the pores, okay? Plus or minus, depending on how you want to look at it, how much mass per unit volume I'm removing from those pores and putting them in the particles at every point, okay? For both the anode and the cathode. In the separator, because this is an inactive layer, okay, we basically remove this term. Okay, there's no intercalation in the separator. Okay? So this whole term turns off in this region, and you can turn it back on again in here. Okay? So in one case, of course, when you discharge it, this term is gonna be dumping mass into the electrolyte. Okay? And on this side, that term has the opposite sign and is gonna be dumping mass, taking mass out from the electrolyte. Okay? So it really boils down to solving this equation for the pores. Okay? Plus, of course, inside the particles, we also have inside the particles. Okay? Which we can solve because in this case, we really have a simple diffusion problem, right? Because mass is just simply diffusing from the surface. Okay? And the trick really is, of course, to stitch it all together. Okay? That slide summarizes what we were discussing. Okay? The idea here is that the accumulation of lithium in the electrolyte, it's equivalent to the lithium being diffusing through the electrolyte, plus, of course, the lithium exchange with the particles. Okay? And in this case, we have converted a very complex three-dimensional problem into a 1D problem. Okay? Mathematically, you write this way. Oh, and I forgot to say, in the batteries community, people don't use J as fluxes, as mass fluxes. They really refer to them, and I should write it over there. They really write the mass flux using the variable N, capital N. Okay? So you will see that. That's why you have it up there as an N. Okay? Okay? And the reaction, right, the amount of mass taken out, think of it as how much mass per unit second, per unit volume, I'm taking out of the system or putting in the system, really is expected to be proportional to the amount of reactive area per unit volume, okay? And it should be proportional also to the Butler-Bomer relationship, okay? In the case of mass, since this has units of charge per meter squared per second, okay, really you end up doing this, okay, meaning I just want to convert the whole thing into moles, okay, and ultimately that reaction can be written just like that, okay, and so what we were using before to quantify the reactivity, in per unit volume, right? This relationship for perfectly spherical particles goes as, is it three? Yes, it is a three. Okay, what we were using before, okay, this is where it fits. You know, all that analysis, all that material science, so that ultimately you just dump it there as your one number, right? And the reactivity, all what we learn about reactions and intercalation, it all goes into that one term alone. Okay? So that's how all these terms that we've been discussing fit in. Okay? That mass flux, okay, we can still solve for. Okay? And that one basically has the Onsager form. Okay? Where in this case, the mass flux has a chemical contribution, okay? And we're assuming that in this case, that the gradients in chemical potential are such that there are no internal phase transitions within the electrolyte, okay? If there are phase transitions, then this description will have to be readapted, okay? But if there aren't any, which is usually the first approximation, you can account it in terms of the gradients of the composition and the gradients of the voltage, okay? For a charged system, and I guess I should write it here too. For a charged system, okay, we have this form, okay? Where this term is the chemical diffusion term, as we discussed it last class. And this term corresponds to the electromigration term. Okay? Which we discussed also last class. Okay? And in the case of a neutral species where there's no where that species that is diffusing has no ionic charge, then you can turn that one off and you end up with the same rule, okay, with a classic diffusion equation. Okay? And well, there's one more point, right? But based on what we've been discussing, put it here. In this case, the properties of this porous electrolyte really, actually, I should have put a little tilde on top, meaning these are average properties in the pore structure, okay? Really should be the combination of the mass diffusing through around the pores and maybe mass managing to diffuse through the pores, okay? But as we've been discussing in the past, the diffusivity in the particles is usually much lower than the diffusivity in the electrolyte, okay? And as a result of that, then you can say, well, really, that diffusivity, that average diffusivity, really corresponds to the diffusivity of the electrolyte by itself times the porosity divided by the tortuosity as we derived it several classes ago. Okay, and if you were thinking as to where does the tortuosity enter this picture, that's where it goes. Okay, so that other term that we discussed at length on the material science of that, that's where it goes. Okay, and in this case, that tortuosity, if you remember, goes as A over epsilon to the B, okay, in its generalized form. And in its classic form, people refer to it as 1 over epsilon to the 1/2, right, the Brugmann relation, okay? And typically, at least in its classic form, when people introduce these models for the first time, they simply define it that way. So if I substitute it in there, I end up with 3/2 times DI. Okay? And that's basically how people put it in there. The same, I can say the exact same thing with the electromigration contribution. And of course, if you want to account for transport in porous media where the particles are not spherical, then you would have to come up with these exponents. Okay? And so that you can adapt it for your new situation. Okay? Well, that's basically how that one goes. And this is, of course, the chemical part, okay, of transport. Okay, in a better. Any questions about this? Okay. And, well, those are the quantities we just discussed. Okay? So, basically, all these elements we've been discussing now, they all come together here. Okay? We still have, of course, the equations for charge. So, we have, and maybe I should have written it here so we don't lose it. We have d epsilon dc dt equal minus the divergence of ni plus ri. Okay, I'm going to leave that one there. Okay, and on this side of the board, I'm going to do the same thing for the charge, okay, because of course we have a charged media, so we have to account for both, okay? And the equations look pretty much the same. In this case, we have that charge accumulation, oh, and I should say charge accumulation in the pore structure goes as minus the divergence of, really, it should be, should write it, if I'm consistent with my own notation this way, plus some reaction of removing that charge, basically intercalating it or plating it and putting it on the host material. Okay? That's how it should really go. Okay? Except that in the batteries community or in the electrochemistry community, people refer to this one as being, in those terms, as the current density is a lowercase I. This is still a vector though. Okay? And, well, in this case, that reaction should be, should match the other reaction. Okay? The reaction that we wrote over there. Except that in this case, we're actually talking about the ionic charge and the electrons intercalating at the surface. So really, this goes as A JBB. Okay? For the other equation. One more comment, because the idea is that the electrolyte is really not accumulating any finite charge, but the system tries to be electrically neutral at all times, then we throw away that term. Okay? And we say, really, that the divergence of charge corresponds to the charge that has reacted in the particles. Okay? And what we have learned about conductivity still applies in here. Okay? In that case, the current density goes as minus the conductivity, in this case the average conductivity, times the gradient of the voltage, minus the electromigration constant, okay, times the gradient of the concentration. Okay, also average. Okay, or averaged out in that porous medium. Okay? And the same thing applies, right? We still have that the conductivity goes as the porosity times the conductivity of the electrolyte as we've been discussing it. Oh, and actually, I think I've been using kappa, haven't I? Yeah. Sorry. That's what happens when you read too many papers about the topic. Okay. Divided by the tortuosity. Okay. And the same applies for the electromigration constant. Same electromigration constant. Why? Because really, without that constant, then we wouldn't be able to have the system, we wouldn't be generating entropy. We wouldn't be satisfying the entropy generation statement. Okay? And basically, we have that other equation. Okay? And again, this applies for both the anode and the cathode. The only thing that changes is will be the sign of this term. Okay? Because in one case, we're exuding material into the electrolyte, and in another case, we're taking it out of the electrolyte and putting it into particles. Okay? Yeah?
The averages that you are taking are inside the pore or the particles and the pore together?
Yes, are the particles and the pore microstructure. But I'm looking at it really at two levels. I'm assuming that for transport only, in the absence of any reactions, that porous medium is such that the diffusion is going around the pores, perfectly going around the pores. Okay, satisfying without what we've been discussing about tortuosity, right? That really the conductivity or the diffusivity of the particles is so small that really I can always travel around them. Okay. So giving me an opportunity to write it this way.
That K would be the conductivity of?
Of the electrolyte.
Okay.
You prefer the electrolyte graphite mixture. I mean, you can always expand that to account for the level of resolution that you want to account for. Okay? And of course, one implicit assumption is that the particles, the electrolyte, and the filler, and all the other things that you mix in this battery composite, all of them are perfectly well mixed, right? So, for every region, that composite is uniform and homogeneous. Okay? And another thing, we're completely ignoring any particle-particle interaction. What we're really saying is that the particles are interacting with the electrolyte. Okay? And if there's any interaction between the particles, it's through the electrolyte only. In any other case, they will not see each other, right? If you have a giant particle in front of a tiny particle, this one will exchange lithium with the electrolyte, and that one will exchange lithium with the electrolyte. The electrolyte will be here. But these two guys will never see each other to exchange lithium between them. Okay? So that's how the problem is decoupled. Okay? Okay. Okay, and well, the slide only attempts to summarize what I just said over here. Okay? Where you have now the charge in the electrolyte that is flowing through without through charge conservation, plus the term that accounts for the charge exchange with the particles, okay, and it gives me that equation, okay, and those are how those terms correspond to each other. We have the conductivity and the electromigration term, and basically the same terms we had before, okay, and the beauty about the setup. If you think about it from the engineering point of view, basically, people needed to come up with a way to be able to let the diffusant access the particles, to have as much area as possible, and at the same time to be able to transport it as fast as they could. And I mean, from the equation's point of view, you can see that reflected, right? The smaller the particle that you put in there, the more reactive area you will have, just like we've discussed in the past. Okay? And of course, the greater the porosity, the faster the diffusion will go through because there will be less obstacles, but the less charge you will be able to intercalate. Because you can see the closer this is to one, the less area you have and the less material will react. Okay? Okay, now, there's one more thing to finish these equations, and I mean, and really it takes a while to go through all of this, okay, but for one representative particle, it'll have obviously that form. I mean, it's just simple diffusion. The only trick is that we have that for that particle, that reaction that was occurring in the electrolyte phase at every volume element, if you may, turns into a boundary condition for that particle. Okay? So let me say it and try to say it in other terms. If I have the cross-section of the battery and I am removing particles from the electrolyte into what I call the particle phase, here in through these equations, that corresponds to a volume term because I'm accounting for the particles in a per unit per volume basis. But when I want to account as to how much lithium has entered the particles by themselves and how that lithium is being distributed, then I have to, let's see, what am I going to erase? Let's erase this. I have to solve for the equation that you have up there on the screen. Okay, that lithium that is over there in the electrolyte is going to be entering here at this surface. That's where you have your Butler-Bomer relationship. Okay, as a boundary condition, okay, somewhere there's this infinitesimally small thin layer where ions and electrons are basically annihilating themselves, destroying the charge, if you may. And all we have in here is the neutral lithium coming through. Okay? And so you have to solve for that species with that boundary condition. Okay? And that's really all it boils down to. Okay, and this one is a much simpler problem to handle because you can always solve for the one particle. Okay? And that makes it very convenient. Okay? And in the bulk, of course, you always have your simple relationship. Okay. I have this slide up here simply to highlight the fact that now we have to balance out not only how much charge you goes from anode to cathode based on the thicknesses when you do this macroscopically. You also need to balance out the amount of area per unit volume in based on the particle size. And typically, people engineer it that way. Boundary conditions for the electrolyte, just like we specify them for the one particle, are important here as well. And for those equations, as we have them, just think of them as our set of equations. Okay, what we really want chemically for that charge that we're moving from the anode to the cathode is we want it to never be able to get out. Okay, no one wants to have a leaky battery. Okay, so really, we're saying that that mass on this end is going to be the mass flux on that edge is going to be zero, and the mass flux on this edge is going to be zero too. Okay, which is a very straightforward boundary condition if you think about it. Okay, electrically, to solve for that other equation, what you do is you simply put as a boundary condition that current density, and also impose it on that end. And that's all you, well, it's I think it's a little bit disingenuous to say that's really all you need to do, because now you have to implement those equations or solve them analytically. Okay? This problem for these equations that you have it up there, it's never at steady state. Okay? Never you can find an equilibrium concentration gradient, or I'm sorry, a steady state concentration gradient that you can fit in an equation to. Okay? It's complicated enough that you will never find that situation. Okay? Instead, what happens is that you go and try to solve that numerically. The trick, of course, and this is why I presented the reaction zone model, as to when can I reduce this very complex set of equations into something that we can handle analytically. And if you think about it, it has to do with under what circumstances I can ignore diffusion in my problem. Okay? Really, you have to look at the diffusivities associated to, and the limitation is always going to be the solid phase. Okay? Typically, that occurs in situations of very small C rates, very low current densities, okay? And unfortunately, those are the situations we're really not interested in, okay? Because for very small current densities, we typically only deal with the equilibrium situation, and for that equilibrium situation, we really, it's not something that we use practically, right? I mean, batteries don't discharge, well, at least my laptop, when I run it in batteries, doesn't discharge in 100 hours, I wish, right? It really discharges in 2-3 hours, okay? Which really makes every point in the battery being accessed at different points, defining with it different gradients to specify its flux, okay? Now, one more thing I want to say about that is that simulating the whole battery is really what you should be doing if you're trying to understand a battery. But many people, also experimentally, people sometimes don't do full cells. They only do half cells. So you can take this setup to only describe half a cell. And actually, that's how they call it, a half cell, where they only talk about the separator and the cathode, or the anode and the separator, and they ignore the rest. And the thought here is that the electrons that are extracted at the anode back contact interface are equivalent to the mass being pumped on this end. Okay? So if you do that, then you can specify a boundary condition, okay, for that system, okay, where you can replace the entire electrode with half a cell and say that on this end, okay, well, of course, you always have that current density. You can take this point as your reference and make that basically grounded instead of just applying that current density, and pump in the amount of mass that you would as if the anode was providing that mass. Okay? And that allows you to really just solve for that bit alone, which again is what many people also do. Okay? I mean, at this point, we're just dealing with the boundary conditions of a set of couple differential equations that we would have to solve numerically. And that's how they were solved. Any questions at this point before I go over the examples? Okay. Okay. So, I want to summarize also the assumptions. As we know, if we use the Brugmann relationship, particles are expected to be perfectly spherical monodispersed, okay, in this specific model. As we also discussed, particle-particle interactions do not occur unless we do it through the electrolyte. Okay? Every position of the electrode thickness is microstructurally equivalent, meaning the porosity is uniform. Think about it. We've thought about the porosity as a scalar until this point. If you had a porosity that was a function of position, then you could do that, but then you would have to adapt your equations. Typically, Typically, when people deal with that porosity, they just move it outside, okay, and make the equation simpler. Okay, but if your porosity is a function of position, then that complicates how you solve your equations and you just have to be iterating over that. Okay? But it's still doable. Okay? The electrical conductivity is uniform within each layer. Okay? If at all, the electrical conductivity could be a function of concentration, as we have already discussed when we talked about conductivity in the electrolyte. The diffusivity is uniform, okay, which is also a huge assumption if you think about it. Okay, conductivity and diffusivity in the electrolyte are much larger than in the active material. That was also a big assumption that we made. We assume that the cathode material is conductivity and its diffusivity is non-zero, but is much smaller by orders of magnitude in comparison with what occurs in the electrolyte. Okay, and transport pathways, there's always a transport pathway, even if the porosity is less than 1% in this model, okay, there will always be a pathway or a path for the reactant to get to another point. In this one-dimensional model, it might be flowing very slow, but there's always a way to get there. Okay, in a real electrode, you can find clusters of particles that could block the flow of that reactant to some specific regions. Okay? And that could be a definite problem when you describe the system. Okay, so keep in mind the assumptions. Okay, and given those assumptions, I can tell you that this model is the most successful model for the battery community. When someone says typically, you go to a conference and people say, I have been modeling a battery, and they say, I've been using the Newman method or the Newman model, this is what they mean. Okay, it's very popular. Okay, the Newman model there are even a set of small companies out there. You can go and Google Newman model download, and you can download the original, the latest Fortran code that he used to implement this with his students. Okay, there's a lot of people that have been involved on that. And these days, you can even find papers where they parallelize it and try to extend this 1D idea to 3D, in the sense that batteries, when you package them, you can package those layers like this, and people care about how that lithium is being exchanged or exchanged even laterally in these layers. Okay, that's, people are doing that right now. Okay, and it's a very common thing to do. Okay, they have used this method not only to describe lithium-ion batteries, which has been the focus of the class, but also for lead-acid batteries. I've seen it for magnesium-based batteries, for sodium-based batteries. I mean, any battery that you can represent in terms of a porous structure, you can take that Newman approach and develop it. Okay, so again, it's very popular, very, very widely used. Okay, this is just one cross section of the lithium distribution in the electrolyte. Okay, you have here a lithium manganese oxide layer, but we're looking only at the lithium distribution within the porous electrolyte. This region that you have over here is the separator. Okay, and you can see lithium is coming at a constant rate through that separator, okay, given what the porosity of that separator is. Okay, and as it comes through, you can see here, at T equals zero, you have a constant distribution of lithium in the electrolyte of the cathode. 8 minutes later, it has dropped to basically half its value. 18 minutes later, it has further dropped. Okay, and almost an hour later, look what happens. In the very back of that contact, okay, we have full depletion. Okay, all the lithium in the back contact has basically been removed from the electrolyte and put into the particles 65 minutes later. Why? Because as it is flowing through this porous structure, it's being taken out of the electrolyte and put into the particles. Okay, that's on the on the cathode side. On the anode side, you can see, in this case, it's a carbon electrode. The complementary situation happens. In this case, notice what actually you can see that the anode is much thicker in comparison to the cathode, and at least in for this particular simulation. And you can see that as time passes, we go from going almost 50% above the initial concentration to almost twice its value at the end. And why is that? Well, the limiting rate here is through the separator, but as it occurs, it's also limited by how fast the cathode itself is able to take it out. Okay? And well, that certainly changes the way the system works. The reason that I hid the anode itself is to show you that you can run this as a full battery or give it a fixed flux at that interface and focus on the cathode alone. Okay? Obviously, what occurs in the anode is important, okay, but sometimes it's people want to focus on one part. And that's why sometimes people do indeed just report what happens in half a cell. When you put it all together, it could be that the anode is the limiting rate. Okay? That's on that end. And let's see, do I have time? Oh, yes, I still have 7 minutes. Okay? That, of course, is for something that was running at that specific C rate. This is, again, this is still the lithium concentration in the electrolyte. And what you have here, right below that the lithium concentration in the electrolyte, you have also the overpotential, if you may, in the electrolyte, okay, or the overpotential in this case, okay? Notice that the back contact is set as a reference, okay, the cathode is set as a reference, and as a result of that, there's a voltage gradient occurring in the cathode separator region, okay? Why? Because as electrons are being exuded, I'm sorry, as electrons and lithium ions are being exuded into the electrolyte, that basically adds, where is it? This term, okay, as it's exuding ions into the electrolyte, it's inducing gradients, in this case, of charge, that it's forcing the overpotential to change, okay, through this term, okay? And since in this case we're talking about that this term is inducing changes on the second derivative of the voltage, that's why it has, you know, that almost quadratic-like form there, right? Because we're talking about the curvature of the voltage, right? In this case, that is being controlled by the Butler-Wohmer relationship, okay? And in contrast, in the cathode, we see the opposite, right? It has the opposite curvature because charge is being taken from the electrolyte and being taken out. So the curvature gives you that sense. And the fact that we have a constant gradient across the separator only tells you that I'm not creating or destroying charge in the separator. I'm just flowing it through. And, well, you can see it's occurring at a constant rate, okay? And depending on where we are in the whole thing, that overpotential could be changing significantly, right? In fact, well, changing significantly is just a figure of speech because we go from 0 volts to roughly 140 millivolts by the end, okay? This for 1C. If you increase the system from 1C to 3C to 5C, notice what happens, okay? At 3C, you basically deplete the entirety of the cathode as a result of taking lithium out really fast. Basically, the reactivity of the cathode is so large that it doesn't give an opportunity for the particles to, for the lithium to diffuse around the particles so they can react on the particles in the back. Basically, these particles that are in the front are doing all the work. Okay, not letting any more lithium available for the particles on the back to do any of the work. Okay, and as a result of that, you can see for 1C, after 60 minutes, you can still have here some lithium that can be used in the back contact. Okay, after at 3C, you can see here, let's see, that at 11 minutes, pretty much entire back of the electrode has completely depleted. There's the these particles up here have basically been working really hard to take all of it out, not leaving anything to the back. And at 5C, notice this entire region after, let's see how much is this, after 4 minutes, okay, this region has reacted so fast that it's even making lithium from the back basically diffuse to the front, okay, so that those particles can react faster, right? The particles in the back are completely shielded. They cannot see that there's a voltage there, a voltage gradient. So they say, oh, you need more. There you go. Okay, the electrolyte in the back is saying, okay? So, and it really gives you, typically that's the kind of plot they're showing you. They're not really showing you the voltage in the battery. They're showing you the microstructurally average voltage over potential, if you may, in the electrolyte. Okay? And again, all these little interactions are lost. Okay? The last thing I want to comment on before we move on is the diffusion ratio. As I was telling you before, we would care into using this model for the case where the system is not reaction limited. Okay? Where the case where diffusion is an issue. And for that case, we would look at a quantity called the diffusion time divided by the discharge time. If you think about it, right, the diffusion time is much smaller than the reaction time, the discharge time, then diffusion really doesn't matter that much. Okay? It's really all controlled by the reaction. Okay? And, well, that's very straightforward since we've done this before. Okay? The diffusion time really corresponds to the particle size, which is where the diffusion limitations are going to be, okay, divided by the diffusivity of the particle. We've discussed this at some point, okay? Does this make sense? Does this term make sense, or should I need to elaborate on this? We discussed this already at some point. Okay. So, and the discharge time, we can relate it by simply saying that the discharge time corresponds to the total charge that we use divided by the current extracted from that system, using the equation that we've used already for the amount of charge in an electrode layer, okay, divided by that current, that gives me, it has units of time. And if I put it in there, I end up with this relationship, okay, very straightforward relationship, okay, and if you think about it, what you don't want, or if you prefer, the situations where you would care to use this model is for cases where S sub S are much greater than 1. Okay? What does that mean? It means large current densities, large particle sizes. I mean, think about it. Large particle sizes means that it's going to take a long time for this diffusant to go all the way to the back. Therefore, I'm going to have this transients in my battery. Okay? If my current density is too high, then I would accumulate a lot here before, even if the particle is small, to get to the back too, okay? And the denominator is telling me that the smaller the diffusivity of the particle, the greater this number is. And if you think about it, that also makes sense because the smaller the diffusivity, the more I will plate here even for small current densities, okay? Small solubilities, okay? And, well, in this case, for cases where the thickness is in this case an issue, right? And the porosity also plays a role there. Okay? Yes?
What's the epsilon plus?
Oh, yes, thank you. I should have defined that. Epsilon plus corresponds to the porosity of the active material alone. Okay? And epsilon F in this case corresponds to the porosity of the filler. All I'm doing here is subtracting anything that is not active material from the system. Okay? Just in the way we've done it before, right? Really think of this epsilon plus epsilon F as the total porosity of the system. Okay? And just to show you how that works, right? If I have a C rate of C over 2, okay, after 63 minutes, you can see that the concentration, and I gotta stop, the concentration in the solid phase has only dropped by like 10%, it's very small. Okay, but if I have go 2C, 1C, or 0.5C. Notice how this whole thing actually just grows really large, okay? And I'm going to stop right here, okay? This basically closes this part. I'm going to be talking about mechanical aspects of battery materials on the lecture on Monday, okay? Okay, thank you.